founder at thewholetruthfoods.com. At The Whole Truth, we are on a mission to simplify our food and release it from the grip of big food marketeers. And we do this by focusing on the fundamentals of food and fitness. Basically, you will not find a 7 ways to get six-pack abs here. Instead, what you will find is that in each episode, we'll pick one fundamental food and nutrition topic and dig deep. We'll bring together a panel of experts with whom I'll host this as a roundtable, as we go about unearthing the 360-degree, unbiased truth of the topic at hand. That's it. That's our project. Let's dive right in. This month, we're decoding sugar, the big bad boy of the food world. On the panel today, I have Ashton Doctor, aka The Habit Coach. Ashton is the founder of Awesome 180, where he works on rewiring your brain to help you form healthier habits and lead a better lifestyle. He's also a dear friend. We also have Kumud Dadlani, a food anthropologist and a sustainable supply chain manager. Kumud has written for Condé Nast Traveler, The Hindu, The Culture Trip, The Daily Pow, and several other noteworthy publications. And in this episode, we discuss the various forms of sugar, and are all of them equally harmful. Is there a recommended daily sugar intake that's safe? And is there really an alternative lifestyle that's completely devoid of sugar? Let's dive right in.
Let me start by, structuring the world of sugar into three broad buckets. There is refined sugar, which was the topic that we were largely talking about throughout the podcast, which is the bad thing, the man-made sugar, the one which we make in a chem lab, etc. Then there are natural sugars that do come in two forms. They either come in their natural form, so they come in the fruit, they come in the dates and in the berries. And there is natural extracted sugar, where you pull out the sugar out of date, you pull out the sugar out of coconut and sell it as a separate sugar. Third is sugar alcohols, which is a man-made thing. Some of them occur in nature also, but most of them are man-made. And then fourth is a separate class by itself, which is just one word, which is maltodextrin, which you will find in a lot of food packets around you, in FMCG food packets. And then a fifth one is artificial sweeteners, which is as sweet or much more sweet than sugar, but gives you no calories. So refined sugar, we all know, is bad, so let's keep it aside. Natural sugar in its natural form, when it comes with the fruit, date, berry, is good, but in moderation. Also, chances are that you can't overeat it too much because it comes with so many fibers and minerals and nutrients that it'll satiate you. But yes, when you're having grapes and berries, sometimes you can overdo it. So do it in moderation. And the food will itself help you not go overboard. Natural sugar extracted out of any natural source is just the same as sugar. So don't let anyone fool you that we've used date sugar in this or coconut sugar in this or any other fancy name of sugar in this. If it's a sugar paste, if it's a sugar syrup, it is as bad as sugar. Yeah. Finally, coming to, not finally, so I missed out on, within natural sugars, we also tend to classify the honeys and the jaggeries of the world. Calorifically speaking, they are exactly the same as sugar. So if you are on a calorie counting, weight loss diet, just count them as sugar. Don't give yourself any extra leeway because we are having this natural honey or agave nectar or jaggery. They have the same calories. Yeah. Nutrient profile wise, they are slightly different. Honey is definitely more nutritious than sugar. Jaggery is even more nutritious when it comes to minerals and vitamins than honey. The problem is the density of the nutrition is so low that for it to be meaningful, you'll have to eat a truckload of honey and jaggery. So again, don't let anyone fool you by saying that, hey, go on, have a lot of jaggery because it has so much nutrients. The quantity of nutrition is in such low dosage that you'll have to eat a truckload of it to derive the benefits. Having said that, if you are going to sweeten your beverage with something, jaggery is better than honey, is better than refined sugar. Yeah, so that's the way to think about it. And finally, sugar alcohols, anything that ends with OLS, so maltitol, sorbitol, erythritol, all of these are sugar alcohols. Many of these are man-made. Some of them do occur in nature, but most of the stuff that you get in your food is not from nature. It's been replicated, mimicked in a chemistry lab by human beings. The difference is they don't get classified as sugar because only half of them get absorbed into the bloodstream, and hence, while sugar has 4 calories per gram, these have, sugar alcohols have 2 calories per gram. The remaining half just passes through your body. It doesn't get absorbed. So point number one is, do count the calories coming from the sugar alcohols also. Don't assume ki sugar alcohol, because the packet will say no sugar added, because sugar alcohol is not counted as a sugar. So be aware of that. And second is, they do still cause an insulin spike. In some cases, they might be a lower insulin spike than, in most cases, it's a lower insulin spike than the fried sugar, but there is an insulin spike. And talking of insulin spike, the biggest culprit in today's food is maltodextrin, which is neither a sugar nor a sugar alcohol. It's a carbohydrate which mimics sugar, but it has 50% higher the insulin shock of sugar, which is deadly for diabetics. So if you're buying a no sugar added food packet, please turn it around and check if there's maltodextrin. If there is maltodextrin, it's in many ways worse than sugar. So yeah, that's the landscape of how do you think about sugar.
I think going back to what Shashank was saying about the classification of sugars, there's obviously one that's better than the other. But also if you choose something that you think is better, the effort is still a little bit more extended, where you have to sit down and really understand how that product has come to be. So if you take jaggery powder, for instance, I know a few companies out there that claim to make it absolutely in the natural way. What does that mean, right? So I think consumers have to ask that question, because again, marketeers and companies will always find to sneak in information that should be pertaining to you, but want to kind of hide it from you, right? So when you're choosing natural sugar, there's obviously one that's better than the other. So do the work, do the hard work of really understanding how sugar should be processed, for example, you know, without chemicals. If you are taking coconut sugar, which is essentially sap from the flowers, how are you doing that? If you're doing it in a natural form where it's just extraction and it's packaged and thus has less shelf life, maybe that's a good option for you, rather than choosing jaggery powder that's absolutely processed and, you know, has lots of chemicals to maintain shelf life. So ask those questions. I think that's important.
Kumud, let's talk about the different, more natural sounding forms of sugar. So there is both honey and jaggery, of course. But then there are these new evolved forms like coconut sugar, palm jaggery, and exotic honeys. Are these any better? Is the demand for these growing? And do you see an impact of these on our supply chains?
Yeah, I think there definitely has been a shift for sure. And it's a growing segment. And I know to be dabbling in it once in a while, where I go out and I'll see what kind of sugars are available. And, you know, what does that mean for flavor profiles? Where can I add this? Does this make sense? You know, so it's definitely a lifestyle choice. Now, it's a bigger task. It's not as simple as going out there and being, okay, what sugars are there? You know, that also means that, you know, that same person who is opting for these sugars are going to, like, you know, the farmers market or trying to source local coffee. So it's definitely a larger agenda in place. And, you know, that's a good thing. You know, it is a ripple effect. It's not just one thing. I'm just going to go and select sugar. There's definitely other arenas of your life that you're also trying to change and become healthier. You know, people are traveling, you know, they're more experimental nowadays. And now that we are seeing other sugars in the market, it's an easier task to do. You know, you don't have to really deep dive or make like a 5 calls to be like, where can I get stevia from? It's so available in the market right now. So definitely that has changed people's buying choices. You know, I think this is going to grow for sure. I think there also has to be a point where this is a little bit influenced by the West again. You know, I feel like I keep using this example of like yoga, for example. You know, yoga is in India, been based in India, but it's gone abroad, repackaged itself, and now it's being sold to India. So I also feel like, you know, Indians according to me, you know, with our food systems and our balanced, you know, Ayurvedic tradition, we've always been healthier than the rest of the world. So I feel like even this shift in buying choices is being repackaged in the West and then coming back to India, which is only a good thing, I guess. But I think we should definitely see what is available within India and choose the local forms of sugar, you know, and not probably artificial sweetener. But I think what is really important is also how you read labels. I think it's a life skill that everybody should know, is how you read labels of your packaged foods, because sugar, fat, and salt will sneak up on you. So I think what the whole truth is doing, Shashank, what you guys are doing, is that your branding and your packaging is so clear that there's no room for any sort of misinformation, or you know, giving that clarity to the audience is so important. So I wish, you know, more people were doing that.
Yeah, that's a constant, you know, both source of disappointment and inspiration for us, of how marketers are using the privilege that they have to an end which is not a good end for any of us. And the joke is on all of us. In fact, you know, your point of these fancy, both fancy and old sugars, like the jaggeries of the world and the new ones, like the coconut sugars of the world, the joke is on the rich folks. It's not on the poor farmer. It's on all of us who believe that we are doing some really, really cool stuff, going to this hip cafe where they don't put refined sugar, but they put date sugar, which is all the same. You'll pay a premium for it and then get the same diabetes that everyone else gets. No special form of diabetes for you, right? So, which is quite sad. Ashton, I want to come to you. And, you know, while we said that the whole topic of artificial sweeteners, which seemed to be, you know, the best thing that could ever happen to mankind, which, by the way, happened 60 years ago, is when we started with the artificial sweeteners, because you get all the sweetness at zero calories. Then obesity should have gotten solved. Then diabetes should have gotten solved. But it's been 60 years. Every 10 years, we find a new God's gift to mankind compound, which is the best artificial sugar now in town. And yet none of the markers are getting better. How does one explain that dichotomy?
So it's very interesting. Many of the artificial sweeteners that were created actually started killing off all your gut bacteria. And what that did was that increases your chance of obesity. So there was this fantastic study that was done where one set of people were given your normal sugary soda, and the other group was given your diet soda. And the diet soda chaps actually increased weight-wise than the other ones did. Why? Because what was happening was the gut bacteria was starting to get killed off. Now, that is something that we've learned over the years, and you start looking for newer forms of sugar, well, not sugar, but newer forms of something sweet, because we're so addicted to that flavor of sweetness. And which is why now we're moving to things like stevia, we're moving to things like monk fruit, because that's what we currently think is good. Who knows, 5 years down the line, might be something else. We'll find something different. Which is why I think, you know, as far as possible, see how little of this you can use in your lifestyle. Correct. Now, if you were using a crazy amount of sugar earlier, if there was 20 instances of sugar in your day earlier on, you replace 20 of them with 10 of these artificial ones and slowly start reducing it. You now only have 4 instances of something sweet in your day. You made such a dramatic difference. So for example, for me, I don't think I have something sweet at all through the day, except for maybe a protein shake or something else. So I've tried reducing it down to maybe 2 such instances in the day when I would be exposing myself to the flavor sweet. And now, how do you get rid of that need for something sweet? You move to something bitter. You would have noticed that we've actually moved away from bitter foods and thought of bitter foods as something that's bad for us. Correct? If we can start moving towards bitter foods more, the chances of you being able to give up the sweeter foods increases dramatically. And bitter foods are typically higher in all your polyphenols, the stuff that, you know, which you call antioxidants, and those aspects of food. So as a result, it is better to get into that category. Explore your taste buds. There are so many different flavors. Let us explore those and understand what kind of foods, you know, we can actually enjoy without feeling that we're depriving ourselves.
Kumud, Which savory foods still contain a lot of sugar?
That would be in the form of high fructose corn syrup. So, you know, your ketchups, your dressings, your sauces, you know, your jar sauces, all of them tend to have high fructose corn syrup. So read the label. I think that's something that maybe Shashank can do later in one of the podcasts, is explain to people how to read labels. That's so important. And it's such a missing point that we don't really think about. You know, even in breads, I think it's, there is an amount of sugar, but I think that's more got to do with like caramel coloring in whole wheat bread. So even making choices about bread, if I really have to compare white bread with whole wheat bread that we get in a mass way, I think, you know, white bread is better because there's no, you know, addition of colorings and sugar in it. So again, I think that's why people are choosing sourdough breads, for example, because that's good for, so it is good for your gut, right? So whatever you choose, you have to see what kind of functioning it is that takes place within your system. I think that's something that we should think about.
Ashley, a lot of people on Instagram have asked us whether there is a recommended daily intake of sugar, because you can't live off sugar forever while you might do a challenge. So is there a guideline or some way to think about that?
Well, firstly, you can live forever without sugar. Sugar is not an essential nutrient for your body at all. So, you know, if you talk about nutrients, you're talking about carbohydrates. Carbohydrates come from all the rotis and the rice and all of that that we're eating. So you can technically live without sugar for the rest of it. I know actually lots of people who haven't had sugar for the last 5-6 years, or maybe 10 years as well. I do something different because I love my sugar. So I don't eat sugar for 30 days. And then one day in a month, which is on the 31st of a month, I eat sugar. And then again, it continues. If there's a month that has a 30th in it, no sugar for me. So that is how I, you know, do my sugar. Because I know that I don't have that control to stop at just one bite. And hence, it goes out of hand. But there are some people who have that control. And for them, sugar is not an issue. Fine. Allow it to be there in your life. But, you know, for the rest of us who are addicted to sugar, who find sugar as something that, you know, we need, crave, it becomes hard to do that.
Got it. Let me also butt in on this one, because I know, and then I'll come to you also, Kumud, because I know Ashden and I come from slightly different schools on how we achieved our own weight losses and how we go about it. I am more of the calorie counting school of thought as a necessary, not sufficient condition of weight loss. So from that lens, if I were to say my guideline that I boil down to saying what is the, you know, stable level that I want to live life with having my sugar, because I also love my sugar. Let's say you're on a 1600, 1700 calorie diet, which is your weight maintenance diet. I try and limit calories from sugar to 5% of that calorie limit. So that's about 80 calories from sugar in a day at max. And by the way, that's not small. That's 20 grams of sugar, because each gram of sugar has 4 calories in it. Yeah. And a teaspoon of sugar is about 4.5 grams. So that's about 4 to 5 teaspoons of sugar. I found personally that when I'm not trying to lose weight, when I'm just trying to maintain my weight, this much sugar at the outermost, I usually try and keep it to 50 calories. So that's about 3 teaspoons a day. Doesn't do me any harm, doesn't make me increase weight. Of course, if I'm trying to lose weight, I have to go down to 0. There is pretty much no other way. But my experience is a bit different from Ashton's, because I'm now able to, you know, take a bite and be like, that's it. I just want to, you know, give my brain this happiness that I did take a bite of chocolate and that's done now, and I can move on. So perhaps the answer, and we'll move to Kumud also, but perhaps the answer is whichever of these works for you. Kumud, what's your take?
I come from this from a little different school of thought, is that I believe moderation is everything. Balance is everything. It all stems down to balance is everything. I again, as I said before, I don't think one size fits all. So another way to think about this is that what if you really study the kind of sugar intake that's going on in your system? You know, maybe from fruits, maybe from a ketchup bottle, maybe from your salad dressings, but that's on a person to really understand what's going on in their diet. I also believe that sugar is definitely one of your taste receptors. So it is an essential taste, and eliminating it completely from your diet is not something that I think is necessary, depending on your medical history, your family history. But I think moderation is everything. Again, it's the kind of choices that you make. If you go out to the market and buy refined white sugar and then try and reduce that consumption, I think is pointless. I think it also comes down to choosing the right sugar for you. You know, it is known that, you know, jaggery powder, for example, does have minerals in it. So it could be the quantity of it that you actually consume is where I come from.
And with that, we call it a wrap. We really hope this episode works for you like a handy guide. We have a more intense discussion on why sugar is really the perfect storm in episode 1 of the Whole Truth Project. Go check it out. Remember that we release a new podcast every Sunday, unearthing the 360-degree unbiased truth about a fundamental topic related to food and fitness. This month, that topic is sugar. So don't forget to subscribe and share. And do follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links are in the episode description. Ciao for now.